This is John Carradine. You are about to hear the incredible account of the conspiracy to rule the world, as told by
J.G. Michael and C. Derek Varn.
Most Americans are being kept totally ignorant of the conspiratorial organizations following carefully laid plans for our convergence with the Soviet Union as the base for a dictatorial government of the world. Perhaps the nexus of this organized subversive effort in America is an establishment-level organization known as
Zero Books. That's right. On the latest edition of Parallax Views, with C. Derek Varn and J.G. Michael, we'll be discussing conspiracy theories and how they've come to permeate the political landscape today. And now, for a sneak peek of our conversation.
You and I were talking before we started the show about left-wing and right-wing conspiracy culture and how the left-wing one is different, and you said you weren't as sympathetic to the right-wing one. And, you know, I said that it's hard for me to distinguish them out because they have the same origin. And I would say it comes out of the baby boomer left, both the right-wing and left-wing tropes, particularly in the lieu of the Church Commission and Watergate. That's when the massive proliferation of a lot of modern, like, false flag talk and all that came about. Now, there'd always been right-wing conspiracy culture, and it is old, partly, as I had brought up before, because, you know, the left has a tendency for structural analysis, which makes conspiratorial thinking a little bit irrelevant. But when you really look at it, you look at the history of it, like, there is some crazy stuff around the early Watergate and pre-Church Commission, things coming out of COINTELPRO and stuff by, like, ex-hippies running, you know, pirate radio shows and even, like, mainstream radio shows. And some of those same people show back up later on the other side of the ledger. And so the idea that there's, like, a conspiratorial counter-hegemonic force or whatever emerging in the late 60s, early 70s out of kind of dissident hippies, I think that would have been originally a mostly left-wing phenomenon, and over time it sort of re-merged with the John Birch Society. Now, John Birch Society stuff, you know, a lot of its conspiracies against, like, fluoride and whatnot, is so old that it got made fun of in Dr. Strangelove. So, you know, that's not new, but it being what it is in mainstream is very interesting. And I'll tell you an example of that even recently. Anti-vax and, like physical purity stuff, like those conspiracies, those started off on the left, for the most part, against Big Pharma and whatever, and have only about 10 years ago that they start moving over to the right, and then the left sort of mostly became educated about them, and the right maintained them. The right got in a lot of the anti-vax culture, a lot of the anti-GMO culture and all that. Actually, I remember the book. It was with Crunchy Conservatives, when Ron Dreyer talked about how a lot of those kind of cultural hippie liberal values were completely copacetic with conservatism, and then you saw it spread. And living here in Utah, and I teach in a charter school, so I deal with both parents, the extreme liberal and the extreme right-wing parents often have the same kind of quasi-weird conspiracy culture going on. And, I mean, a lot of them believe the same conspiracies. Why they believe them is very different, but they believe them.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, when you start looking at the sort of early 2000s conspiracy culture.
Oh, yeah, 9/11 troofers were all left-wingers initially.
They were all left-wingers. You know, they were guys like, you know, like Michael Rupert and people like Jenna Orkin, who I actually like her work. It was all on the asbestos poisoning that happened to first responders. And she actually was, like, one of the 9/11 truthers that Jenna Orkin, she refused to go to a 9/11 truth conference because they were allowing Christopher Bolin, one of these notorious Willis Carto-affiliated anti-Semites, to speak. So there was a huge splintering in the sort of truth movement, or there could have been. I guess she was one of the few that stood up.
Right.
While, you know, a lot of the truth movement just went right wing.
Well, I mean, that's interesting, but not surprising. I mean, it was, I remember when, back in my getting out of the paleo-conservative right-wing days, I actually, you know, had a lot of ties to people involved in the, like, 2006-2007 pre-AstroTurf version of the Tea Party. I know there are liberals and leftists who say that never existed, but it did. And a lot of them were troopers, too. And I remember finding it very funny, but, like, in 2005, when I was... In 2006, when I was just out of my MFA, I was writing for this Green Triangle sort of quasi-leftist magazine, and I didn't consider myself a leftist yet, actually, but, like, they were all troopers and conspiracy nuts and, like, into permaculture because of agricultural conspiracies, and they all thought big oil was hiding peak oil, and there was about to be, an immediate environmental collapse, and, like, maybe I shouldn't point this out, but Douglas Lane comes out of that world. He gave it up. You know, a lot of the left just got out of it. Like, it either wasn't explanatory for them, they read Chomsky's book on 9/11 conspiracies and saw that Chomsky had a point, or they saw how many people move right, or whatever, but the ad hoc nature of those works. And one of the things I have learned, you know, I think a lot of the members of the, like, quote-unquote skeptic community are kind of fooling themselves on their own rationality, but one of the things they do point out, that once you collect one conspiracy theory, you tend to collect a bunch of them, even if they're mutually incompatible, and they aren't wrong about that. So, the rightward and leftward nature of that seems to be not because of the content of conspiracy theories, and not unlike what some people say, that conspiracy theories are always right-wing. I don't think that's remotely true. I think it has to do with social sorting, and sociological pressures that push a lot of people rightward, unless they have some other, like, ethical or religious community to stop that from happening, they're going to go with the flow. So there's a lot of people who entered in as left-wing conspiracy theorists and then somehow got into Alex Jones' world. I'm sure if you studied it, there's plenty of people. And, you know, I bring this up just all the time just to remind people, there was a time when, like, people like Richard Linklater had a soft spot for right-wing conspiracy theorists because they were against the Bush administration and the Reagan period. And it really even confused me when you saw Alex Jones flip to being aligned to someone in power.
Yeah, I always think of sort of underground rap culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bands like Nonfiction, Jedi Mind Tricks, they're really big into some of the right-wing conspiracy stuff. Like, you know, Jedi Mind Tricks has, like, tracks where, you know, they sample David Icke. I know Nonfiction, they're, like, big fans of William Cooper, which I always just found it weird that right-wing conspiracy culture would be, like, the big thing in underground rap. I mean,
yeah, but
I
conspiracy culture is actually huge in the deracinated black community. Like, I know this from being from the South, man. Like, you go into, like a trailer park that's majority of color, and, you know, a lot of those people believe, because they've been disenfranchised and everything from the system, that basically every president ever has been pre-picked, and, you know, all of its... whatever. Anyway, and I mean, look, when it comes to black community, I think the conspiracy theories are, like, quasi-rational. You know, what I mean?
I was going to say, like, to me, it makes sort of a lot of sense.
Yeah, I saw
the
same
thing.
The
history of stuff like Tuskegee.
Right.
And whatnot. I sort of get why. Yeah.
Because there have been real ones aimed at them, right? And so, like, just expanding it out. You know, another place where this was big, when I lived in Egypt, right? During when Al-Sisi was ruling, like, everybody believed in the Illuminati, Brotherhood, military, everybody. You know, I mean, a lot of anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, but a whole lot of, like, everyone's out to get us, and also our government doesn't ever do what it says it does, so, and we can't do much about it, so who are we to trust? Nobody. You know? And so in those communities, conspiracy theories make sense. Now, you know, that's not talked about a lot on the left because it doesn't fit our narrative, you know, about, like, you know, structurally oppressed people are more knowledgeable about their oppression or whatever, you know, the standpoint of epistemology stuff, because it's just not true. Like, it doesn't sociologically hold. But, you know, everybody's got to believe in the noble demographic saving them, so you ignore a lot of this. But when you live abroad, you see it too, particularly in countries where democracies have been completely deracinated and hollowed out. Because what else are you going to believe in, right? Like, the idea that it's all stochastic and there isn't really a good reason why everything is going to hell, and, like, there are conspiracies, but they're actually small scale, is in some ways way more frightening because it's way less controllable.
Yeah, well, I also think it's... conspiracy theory is often a very powerful social weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you were to look at the, you know, where the Illuminati conspiracy theories sort of rise up from, they rise out of that, like, era when the revolutions are happening in Europe. And a lot of it seems, as far as I can tell, to sort of be like a sort of, the people that were originally writing about this idea of the Illuminati, you know, surviving and going underground and starting these revolutions, it was all Catholic writers writing about that stuff. So in a way, it was like, it was a way to, it was a propaganda tool, essentially, you know, to scare the plebs.
Yeah, and in some ways it worked.
I mean, I think it still works. I mean, Alex Jones's worldview, you know, it's this neatly, nicely packaged sort of, you know, there's, you know, four guys in a smoky room, and whenever the next dude becomes president, they show him the Kennedy assassination from an angle you never saw, that old Bill Hicks joke. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's easier than looking at things structurally for a lot of people.
Well, but I'll go a step further. Like, I taught last year, I taught an intensive to high school students. An intensive is this thing where I teach a course of that I and the students both want us to teach for like 6 days, right? It's one of the things my school does. And it's 6 days, like 8 hours a day. And I taught an intensive on how to evaluate conspiracy claims, right? Basic critical thinking. And, you know, the point was most conspiracy claims are wrong, but not all of them. And how would you know, right? Like, what are the, given the conspiracies that have been true, what traits do they have that you could use as a heuristic to judge conspiracies that may or may not be true, right? But it totally didn't work. And I couldn't predict which kids were going to, like, take on the conspiracy mantle.